So why do we tend to promote our suffering as if my suffering is the worst? What is the psychology behind this? There are many reasons. I would say, to some extent, you know, when we are small children or babies, you know, we learn to get our needs met by being unhappy. When a baby cries, that is when the parents come and offer attention. So, now of course, if a person is growing with loving parents, then the parents give attention at other times also. But if the parents are negligent, are not so attentive, then the child knows, if I have to get my parents, I have to cry. So, sometimes psychologically it may happen that, you know, we feel that I will get attention only when I will get my needs fulfilled by being unhappy. That's an unhealthy attitude. So people will give me attention when I tell them how much distress I am going through. So that could be from the childhood, it comes up. That's one possibility. Another is that actually the the nature of the mind in the conditioned stage is that it is attached to material things. So it is attached to material pleasure in the sense that it is always thinking of material objects. So when there are pleasant objects, then we think a lot about them. And we could say material pleasure and material pain are like two sides of the same coin. So to the extent we are attached to material pleasures and we delight in those pleasures, to that extent we will obsess over material suffering. And just like, say, I come from India where people are mad for cricket. Now, say, India wins a very important cricket match. And people delight, dance and sing and drink and they do all sorts of celebration. And next day, India loses the cricket match. They can't say, oh, I'm detached from cricket. It doesn't work like that. They may say, I'm fed up with cricket. But inside, they will be miserable. So to the extent we delight in, say, in victory in sports, to that extent, we will be miserable when we suffer. So, pleasure and pain are two sides of the same coin. We can't have one side of the coin. So, if we overall decrease our material consciousness, that means when things go right in our life also, we don't exult over that too much. And yeah, it's okay. It's good that things are going right. Prabhupada says that when things are going right for a devotee, devotee says, Krishna is so kind that Krishna is giving me better opportunities to serve him. But the devotee's focus stays on serving Krishna. Not that, oh, now I have arrived. Now I have done. Now I have become a big person. Just see what I have done. If we start delighting in good things in our material life, then to that extent we will suffer when bad things are there. So it's, at one level it could be a childhood impression. Another level it is general materialistic consciousness. And to some extent, one of the defining realizations for spiritual growth is to recognize the democracy of misery. The democracy of misery means, in democracy, everybody has equal rights. So everybody has equal rights to misery. Nobody is exempt from it. In the purport of 9.32.33, Prabhupada talks about how he is saying about Kim Punar Brahmana Punya Bhakta Raj Rishastata. So he says that even the low born can practice bhakti, then what to speak of the high born? And then therefore the conclusion, Anityam Asukham Lokam Imam Prapte Bhajaswama. For in this temporary miserable world, just practice bhakti. So there Prabhupada says, it is a fact that in this world there are differentiations. There are wealthy, poor people, wealthy and poor, there are good looking and not good looking. There are intelligent and less intelligent people. But the fact is, this world is not a happy place for anyone. So to the extent we can understand this democracy of misery, to that extent we can stop obsessing over the specific misery that we are going through and look for the universal cure. The universal cure is spiritual growth. So, does it answer? Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Yes, Mata.